Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是11月20号，北京时间下午5点，我是张燕，现在请听国际新闻。朝鲜扬言要再次进行核试验，作为对一个联合国委员会谴责平壤侵犯人权的反应。朝鲜外务省星期四发表声明说，在联合国大会第三委员会通过有关朝鲜人权状况的决议案以后，平壤不能就进行第四次核试验再做任何克制。这项决议案提议联合国安理会将朝鲜送交国际刑事法院，就其据称所犯的反人类罪接受审判。该决议案是以联合国调查委员会的一份报告作为依据，报告称平壤犯下了当代世界最严重的侵犯人权罪行。朝鲜发表声明说，该决议案充满恶意的诽谤和污蔑，并且声称通过该决议案是严重的政治挑衅。平壤指责美国伙同其他的国家侮辱平壤，企图推翻平壤政权。美国总统奥巴马计划绕过国会宣布有关移民改革的政令。白宫说，奥巴马总统星期四将发表全国讲话，详细阐述移民改革计划。预计该计划将会包括保护多达500万的非法移民免于遣返，他们还将获得工作许可证。免于遣返的非法移民包括美国公民的父母和配偶。白宫发言人欧内斯特说，奥巴马此举将会加强美国边境安全，增强经济，并且使数百万人不再躲藏并且遵守法律。一些共和党的议员指责奥巴马越权行事。民主党控制的参议院表决通过了一项移民改革议案，但是欧内斯特说，共和党控制的众议院在此后的一年多里始终未就移民改革议案进行表决。很多共和党人说，奥巴马和民主党人要对违法者实行大赦，而这对那些努力通过合法途径移居美国的人们是不公平的。共和党人还主张加强美墨边界的安全措施。美国国务卿克里星期四将在巴黎会见法国和沙特阿拉伯国的外长，讨论伊朗核项目谈判问题。伊朗和世界六强国的谈判代表们在日内瓦争取结束一年来为达成一项全面协议而进行的谈判，最后的期限是星期一。在谈判过程中，双方官员对于达成协议抱有不同程度的希望和怀疑。该协议目的在确保伊朗核项目用于和平目的，同时放松对伊朗的国际制裁。伊朗的经济因为制裁而受损。克里预定参加在日内瓦举行的谈判，但是美国国务院新闻官拉斯科星期三说，克里的抵达时间尚未确定。韩国一家法院判处四月帆沉渡轮素月号经营方清海镇运海运公司负责人金全植10年监禁。岁月号翻沉事故造成300多人死亡。星期四，青海镇海运公司首席执行官金汉植被判犯有渎职罪，听任岁月号渡轮货物超载以及储放不当。现年71岁的金汉植拒不认罪，辩称这起事故应该由他的老板负责。这个人的尸体是6月被发现的， 新闻报告完了，是张燕向各位报告的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是意见分歧第四部分，重点学习表示不同意见的语言。首先是电话访谈， Mike Epstein 先生在加州圣何塞市的办公室接受我们的电话采访，谈他同 Graham 女士的工作关系。
We're talking again with Mike Epstein. He's in his office in San Jose, California.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Mike. Welcome back. Today, we're going to discuss your relationship with Ms. Graham. How would you describe your relationship with her?
We had a fairly good working relationship.
Yes, but there was a rough spot, wasn't there?
Yes.I was upset that she didn't want to buy robots from International Robotics. I thought she was being too conservative. I had spent a lot of time on research, and I knew their robots were the best.
Let's listen to part of that conversation again.
I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
Oh, but what have I been doing for the last year? I've been looking for the new technology to really make this factory something special.And I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
Epstein 先生继续和我们谈他同 Graham 女士的关系。
Mike, let's talk a little more about your relationship with Ms. Graham.
Well, that was the low point, obviously. I actually admire her a great deal, though I think she's too conservative.
What do you think are her strengths?
Well, she has an amazing ability to analyze information, and she is very good at making the right decision in tough situations.
Like the robot deal.
Well, in that one case, I think she was wrong.In that situation, we needed to take a risk in order to buy the best. Without the best technology, our company can't be a leader in our industry.
Mike, thanks for talking to us today.
I was glad to talk to you again, and if you're ever in San Jose...
I'll be sure to drop in and see you. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, our email question is, why do CEOs of big corporations earn so much?
Well, it's mostly because of the pressure to increase sales and profits. The chief executive officer is the leader of the company and is responsible for most major decisions. If the CEO has good ideas and experience, the company may make a lot of money.
That makes sense.
But if the CEO is weak or makes bad decisions, the company may lose money. That's why the stockholders would rather pay a lot more for a good CEO. In addition, some CEOs work 60 or 70 hours per week.
Really?
Yes, and they might not take vacations. There is so much pressure to increase sales and produce big profits that the CEO can't be absent often.
That must be hard on their families.
I would think so. And if sales decrease, the CEO may be fired very quickly.
I guess the high salary does make sense. Thanks, Gary, for the information.
一家建筑公司董事会的两位董事在一起开会，挑选一位新的首席执行官。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Sue, we can't hire Amy Johnstone. She has no experience leading a company.
I don't agree, Sam. She was president of Jackson Supplies for 6 years.
That company is very small. And she has no experience in international sales.
But what about her position at Global Construction Incorporated? She was head of sales in Latin America.
That's true. But didn't they go bankrupt?
That wasn't her fault. The quality of their products was really poor.
I don't think that's true. They had a terrible marketing plan.
Oh, I disagree. They had some very creative ideas.
But does she have the ability to lead us?
Well, our main problems are in marketing and sales. Those are her strong areas.
I really can't accept that.
Look, this discussion isn't going anywhere. Let's talk to Mary. She's in sales, and she worked with Amy Johnstone at Jackson Supplies. Maybe she'll be able to help us decide.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Gary 提示，谈如何表达意见分歧。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about disagreement. In today's business dialogue, Sam and Sue disagree about hiring Amy Johnstone as CEO. Sue uses the simple expression, I don't agree, and gives her reason.
Sue, we can't hire Amy Johnstone. She has no experience leading a company.
I don't agree, Sam. She was president of Jackson Supplies for 6 years.
When you disagree, it is important to explain why you disagree. Later in the conversation, Sue raises another point of disagreement by saying, But what about...
And she has no experience in international sales.
But what about her position at Global Construction Incorporated? She was head of sales in Latin America.
As Sam and Sue continue their disagreement, their language becomes stronger and more emotional.
That wasn't her fault. The quality of their products was really poor.
I don't think that's true. They had a terrible marketing plan.
Oh, I disagree. They had some very creative ideas.
Sue and Sam know each other well, so they can be direct in their disagreement. Ms. Graham and Mr. Epstein have a more formal relationship. When Ms. Graham expresses her disagreement with Mr. Epstein, she uses a more indirect expression.
I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
In most business discussions, it is best to use polite forms of disagreement, such as, I'm afraid I don't agree. I hope today's tips were helpful.
本星期第二课的题目是意见分歧第五部分，重点学习使用同意和不同意的语句。首先是电话访谈， Epstein 先生在电话上谈他和 Graham 女士的意见分歧。
Today, Mike Epstein is calling from his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today, we are going to listen to more of your discussion with Ms. Graham.
Oh, yes. I was sure that Shirley was wrong about international robotics. My last chance was to delay the decision until we heard Charles's final proposal. I was hoping that he would come up with a solution to the parts storage problem.
Okay, let's listen to that part of the conversation.
I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
But what about his report tomorrow? Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
这一节我们继续同 Epstein 先生进行访谈。
Mr. Epstein, let's talk about that discussion. You succeeded in delaying the decision.
Yes, I did. I knew that Shirley would want to be fair to International Robotics.
How did you know that?
Well, I worked with her for a long time. She was always very reasonable.
So she was easy to work with?
Most of the time she was very easy to work with. This was the only time we had such a strong disagreement. We got along quite well.
Mr. Epstein, thank you again for being on the show.
Glad to help out.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, why do American managers expect such fast responses? They want emails, faxes, and phone calls. It drives me crazy.
American managers demand instant communication to speed up their business. As we said before, companies want to keep one step ahead of the competition. Top executives work 60 or 70 hours per week. Executives may need an important piece of information at 11 o'clock at night. They don't want to wait until the next morning to get it. They want it right away.
So whoever has the information is going to get a late-night phone call.
Yes, and if they are asleep, they had better wake up fast. Top executives often call their office every day, even when they are on vacation.
That's awful.
I agree completely, but some people like that kind of pressure. I have a cellular phone, and I'm starting to hate it.
Why is that?
Your private life disappears.
I would hate that. I need some private time every day.
Me too. Here, why don't you take my cell phone?
No thanks. I'd rather keep my life. Thanks for your interesting information, Gary.
You're welcome. Call me anytime you need more.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I think we should hire John Hart. He has 10 years of experience and he's 35 years old, quite mature. What do you think?
I don't agree. I think we should hire Kevin Ward. He's much better educated and very bright.
Yes, he does have an MBA degree, but he doesn't have any real job experience.
That's true. But Mr. Hart has only 4 years' experience in sales.
Yes, that's a good point. Maybe we need more information. Let's talk with them both again.
Do you really think that's necessary? A second interview is a good idea, but I don't think we have the time. I think we really have to decide today.
Well, I agree. Time is a problem. But this new position is very important. We can wait one more day. Would you mind calling them back?
All right. I'll try to schedule them both for tomorrow afternoon.
Gary 提示，讨论如何表达同意和不同意的观点。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking again about agreeing and disagreeing. In today's business dialogue, we can hear examples of polite disagreement. In this conversation, notice how an expression of agreement, such as, that's true, is followed by, but.
I think we should hire Kevin Ward. He's much better educated and very bright.
Yes, he does have an MBA degree. But he doesn't have any real job experience.
That's true. But Mr. Hart has only 4 years' experience in sales.
We see this same pattern of agreement and disagreement later in the conversation.
A second interview is a good idea, but I don't think we have the time. I think we really have to decide today.
Well, I agree. Time is a problem. But this new position is very important. We can wait one more day.
In business discussions, it is a good approach to begin with a point of agreement before bringing up your disagreement. I hope today's tips were helpful.
本星期第三课的题目是意见分歧第六部分，重点学习表示同意和妥协的语句。首先是分析讨论，我们要把 Epstein 先生和 Graham 女士的那次谈话完整的听一遍。我们的商务语言专家 Gary 对这段谈话进行了分析评论。
I'm here with Gary Angleton. Today we will listen to the entire conversation between Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham.
Where Mr. Epstein disagrees so strongly with Ms. Graham.
Yes. Do you think that Ms. Graham handles herself well in this conversation?
Yes, I think she does. Notice how she clearly points out the basis for their disagreement, that Mr. Epstein wants to take a risk, but that she is not willing to take that risk. And she tells Mr. Epstein that he has done a very good job, even though she disagrees with his conclusion.
What about Mr. Epstein? How does he handle the situation?
Well, he does get pretty upset. He has spent a year looking for the best technology, and now Ms. Graham won't accept his recommendation. He thinks he's been wasting his time.
Let's listen again to the conversation.
Yes, in China. The quality of their product is extremely good, but I don't know anything about their reliability. Can they be relied on to do this by October 1st? You know, we've worked with United Industries before. I think we should just go ahead on the deal with them. I feel sure that they can have everything installed and working by October 1st.
Well, look, but there's another argument, Shirley. I agree with you, they haven't established themselves in the States, but that's an advantage. We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk. I think we really have to take that risk.
Well, I think basically that's what it comes down to, Mike. You want to take the risk, and I really am not willing to. I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
Oh, but what have I been doing for the last year? I've been looking for the new technology to really make this factory something special, and I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
But what about his report tomorrow? Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
下面我们继续讨论 Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生的谈话。
By the end of the conversation, Mr. Epstein does convince Ms. Graham to delay her final decision, at least until Mr. Blake presents his report.
That's right. They do reach a compromise. But Mr. Epstein has clearly lost the argument. And Ms. Graham seems to have made up her mind not to do business with Mr. Blake's company.
It certainly seems so. Let's take a short break. Welcome again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, our email question is, in my country, it's very unusual for workers to disagree with their bosses. Why do American workers disagree so openly with their bosses?
Well, occasional disagreement between a boss and a subordinate is a sign of a good relationship in American companies.
Really?
Yes, it means that they respect each other enough to be honest. Americans tend to look down on a yes man.
What's a yes man?
That's a subordinate who always says yes to the boss. He or she agrees with the boss about everything. Maybe the subordinate wants to be promoted or get a better salary.
I don't like that kind of person.
I don't either. A company needs people who will disagree with a bad policy.
to avoid a big mistake?
Exactly. Of course, not all disagreement is constructive.
Constructive?
Disagreement is constructive if it contributes to the good of the company. A worker who disagrees with everything and never compromises can be very bad for a company.
That makes sense. Unless people come to some agreement, they cannot move forward together.
Exactly.
Thanks again, Gary, for your observations. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
You can't just leave right now. You've got to give me at least 2 weeks' notice.
Arnold, I just can't take it anymore. The things we sell here are very poor quality, and the salespeople are not telling the truth about our products.
Eve, I know that there are problems, but I am trying hard to change things, and I need your help.
You always say that things are going to change, but nothing happens.
You're right that I've been slow to change things, but I just fired the director of sales.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our new director is going to hire a new sales staff. All I'm asking for is 2 more weeks. By then, the new director of sales will be comfortable in his position.
All right. That sounds reasonable. I want to be fair.
I know that you do, Eve. You've always been fair to me.
Okay. I'll agree to stay 2 more weeks, but not a day more. I've already found another job.
Gary 提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about coming to agreement or compromise. A compromise is when both people change their positions a little to reach an agreement. Today's business dialogue begins with a strong disagreement, but it ends with a compromise. Let's see how that happens. At first, Eve is very upset, and Arnold agrees that she has reasons to be upset. He says, "I know that there are problems."
Arnold, I just can't take it anymore. The things we sell here are very poor quality, and the salespeople are not telling the truth about our products.
Eve, I know that there are problems, but I am trying hard to change things, and I need your help.
He continues to find points of agreement, using the expression, "You're right."
You always say that things are going to change, but nothing happens.
You're right that I've been slow to change things, but I just fired the director of sales.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He asks her again to stay for 2 more weeks, and she agrees.
All I'm asking for is 2 more weeks. By then, the new director of sales will be comfortable in his position.
All right. That sounds reasonable.
We see the same pattern when Ms. Graham agrees to delay her decision until after the meeting with Mr. Blake.
Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
Even though Mr. Epstein does not succeed in changing Ms. Graham's mind, he does convince her to wait 1 more day. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
各位听众, 今天这一课商务通英语就复习到这里。 谢谢各位收听, 我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套学习辅导材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。 美国之音国际新闻。朝鲜扬言要再次进行核试验，作为对一个联合国委员会谴责平壤侵犯人权的反应。朝鲜外务省星期四发表声明说，在联合国大会第三委员会通过有关朝鲜人权状况的决议案后，平壤不能就进行第四次核试验再做任何克制。这项决议案提议联合国安理会将朝鲜送交国际刑事法院，就其据称所犯反人类罪接受审判。该决议案是以联合国调查委员会的一份报告作为依据的。报告称，平壤犯下了当代世界最严重的侵犯人权罪行。朝鲜发表声明说，该决议案充满恶意的诽谤和污蔑，并声称通过该决议案是严重的政治挑衅。平壤指责美国伙同其他国家侮辱平壤，企图推翻平壤政权。美国总统奥巴马计划绕过国会，宣布有关移民改革的政令。白宫说，奥巴马总统星期四将发表全国讲话，详细阐述移民改革计划。该计划预计将保护多达500万非法移民免于遣返，他们还将获得工作许可证。免于遣返的非法移民包括美国公民的父母和配偶。白宫发言人欧内斯特说，奥巴马此举将加强美国边境安全，增强经济，并使数百万人不再躲藏并遵守法律。一些共和党议员指责奥巴马越权行事。欧内斯特说，从艾森豪威尔总统开始，两党的几乎每任总统都为应对移民问题而采用行政手段。民主党控制的参议院表决通过了一项移民改革议案，但欧内斯特说，共和党控制的众议院在此后的一年多里始终未就移民改革议案进行表决。很多共和党人说，奥巴马和民主党人要对违法者实行大赦，而这对那些努力通过合法途径移居美国的人们是不公平的。共和党人还主张加强美墨边界的安全措施。美国国务卿克里星期四将在巴黎会见法国和沙特阿拉伯的外长，讨论伊朗核项目谈判问题。伊朗和世界六强国的谈判代表们在日内瓦争取结束一年来为达成一项全面协议而进行的谈判，最后期限是星期一。世界六强国包括美国、英国、中国、法国、俄罗斯和德国。在谈判过程中，双方官员对于达成议案协议抱有不同程度的希望和怀疑。该协议旨在确保伊朗核项目用于和平目的，同时放松对伊朗的国际制裁。伊朗经济因制裁而受损。韩国一家法院判处今年四月份翻沉的渡轮岁月号经营方青海镇海运公司负责人金汉植10年监禁。岁月号翻沉事故造成300多人死亡。星期四，镇海运公司首席执行官金汉植被判犯有渎职罪，听任岁月号渡轮货物超载以及储放不当。现年71岁的金汉植拒不认罪，辩称这起事故应由他的老板负责。此人的尸体是6月发现的。被美国总统奥巴马提名担任常务副国务卿的布林肯说，白宫应该考虑为乌克兰提供用于防御的杀伤性军事装备。布林肯星期三在参议院外交委员会作证时说，为乌克兰军队提供军事装备将迫使俄罗斯重新考虑其在乌克兰东部亲俄叛乱活动中的作用。美国国会两院表示赞成为乌克兰提供军事装备，但奥巴马政府迄今没有向乌克兰提供杀伤性装备。洪都拉斯警方逮捕了与选美皇后和她姐姐遇害的有关几个人。星期三，在洪都拉斯西北部城镇圣巴巴拉郊外河边发现了被掩埋的19岁的世界小姐玛利亚·阿尔瓦拉多和她23岁的姐姐索菲亚的尸体。他们是在近一星期前失踪的。人们最后看到他们时，他们正离开一个度假胜地，在那里为索菲亚的男友鲁伊兹庆祝生日。警方说，鲁伊兹看到索菲亚和另一个男子跳舞而妒火中烧，开上枪打死了他，随后又在玛利亚试图逃走时开枪。鲁伊兹被控杀害这对姐妹而遭到逮捕，一名拒信帮助他的男子也被逮捕，警方还逮捕了该度假胜地的业主。各位听众，以上为您播报的是美国之音的国际新闻，谢谢您收听，欢迎您继续收听美国之音的广播。
各位听众观众朋友大家好，欢迎继续收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视11月19号星期三现场直播的时事大家谈节目，我是宝申。
各位好，我是宇宙。
11月18号香港执法人员开始执行高等法院的临时禁制令，清理金钟中信大厦外的抗议营地，而少数激进行动派示威者19号凌晨冲击立法会并同警方发生冲突，历时50多天的占领行动面临严峻挑战。这场由学生主导的争取真普选的占领行动启动时可谓声势浩大，逐步发展到一场市民广泛参与的民主运动，但目前却陷入低潮。它的意义、经验和教训有哪些？香港人民在争取民主的前途在哪里？时事大家谈邀请民主人权观察人士进行解读。
好，今天参加节目讨论的嘉宾，一位呢是中国民主活动家、北京知春杂志主编胡平先生。胡先生你好。
你好。
胡先生通过 Skype 从美国纽约参加讨论。另外一位呢是中国观察人士、媒体人温云超先生。温先生你好。
哎，主持人好，胡斌老师好，大家好。
好，你好，温先生呢也通过 Skype 从纽约参加讨论。我们欢迎两位，我们也欢迎各位听众、观众和网友拨打电话参加节目的讨论，免费热线电话是400-120-0551 400-120-0551，各位请拨打这个免费热线电话提出您的问题，同时呢也发表您的见解。首先呢，第一个问题我想问这个温云超先生，就是刚才我们也看到，就是在今天呢，在香港的这局势呢有一些暴力的场面，那么您怎么看这次的这个香港民众争取真普选运动的这个风云突变呢？还有他这个这次暴力冲突，它背后有什么样的这个原因呢？
首先我不认为这是一个暴力冲突，因为即便是占领政府机构，这是在一个公民抗命当中本来应有的行动，打烂一扇门，它并不是针对执法人员的暴力攻击，所以我认为将它定义为暴力行动本身是有问题的。当然，这也可以看得出来，在占领持续到50多天之后，有些占领者他们想将行动升级来给香港当局施加压力，这完全是因为香港当局长期不回应占领民众的行动所导致的一种客观的结果。当然这种行动有没有跟其他的人士协调，能否得到多数人的支持，当然可以继续讨论。
胡平先生，谈一谈您对19号凌晨在香港立法会外边发生的这个事件的看法。
我想在这个事件发生之后，学联、学民以及这个和平战中的人士都表示了态度，就强调要进行这个非暴力抗争，对可能对这个发生这种事情呢，当然表示表达一种异议。我想这个对于这个维持这个运动、整个运动的和平非暴力是非常重要的。应该说到目前为止，战争运动持续几天。那么他在保持非暴力这一点上还是做得相当成功的。
是，那温云超先生，刚才我们在节目当中也看到，自从这次运动一开始，有关的组织者一直强调这是和平非暴力的。您可能不同意这是一个暴力活动的说法，但是呢，这个事件发生以后，在香港引起了很多人的这个反对，一些民主派的立法委员，包括一直以这个行动这个来反抗著称的长毛梁国雄先生也表示不同意这种看法，所以您看一看您这个看法是怎么样。
其实我们可以看得到，年轻的学联和学民思潮他们的反应跟这些泛民的传统人物其实有很大的不同。在双学看来，他们是可以理解这些人的行动，但是他们认为应该目的更清楚，如果行动前大家要商量好。但是我们看到一些泛民的传统政治人物，他们甚至出来用谴责这两个字，这也看得出来，从这一个很简单的事例也可以看得出来，一些老一辈的政治人物他们其实被边缘化并不是没有道理的，也就是说他们很难知道现在年轻人在想什么，他们也没有办法把自己放到这些年轻人的立场去看这个问题。我认为在面对和平理性非暴力的情况下，凌晨的这场冲突起码让 这次参与雨伞革命的民众们有一个机会去讨论，光和平、理性、非暴力来面对一个集权政府是不是足够。
嗯，好，谢谢温先生。接下来我想问胡平先生，那么我们看到呢，就对这次香港占中运动的这个民意的支持度呢，逐渐的在这个下滑。那么您怎么解释在这种民意它的这个转变呢？
我想这种转变应该说是在意料之中，因为这次这个雨伞行动采取的是一种特殊的一种抗争方式，就是所谓公民抗命，而且是一种间接性的公民抗命。也就是公民这个故意违反一些，通过故意违反一些法律，并愿意承担相应的责任，以此来唤起这个社会的关注。那么这次他主要采取的就是占领一些交通要道，阻塞交通。那么这种做法，由于正因为它比一般的集会要更产生更大的影响，所以我们看到它在不仅在香港，而且在整个世界都激起了这个强烈的反应。而且也迫使港府同意和学联对话啊。但是这种行为它有一个弱点呢，就是说因为它采取的方式是要这个阻塞交通，因此给这个市民的日常生活呢就造成这个诸多不便。在起初那么大多数市民能够理解这种做法的意义，所以他们依然表示对这个运动的支持。但是久而久之，那么人们看到他们对他们生活的不便和不利在增加，而运动呢既然已经达到了相应的效果，唤起了社会的关注，那么再继续下去就没有太大的意义。因此这就导致，就很可能导致很多原来支持占中的一些民众对此就表示这个不支持。那么现在这几次的从一个多月来的这些民意调查已经显示了这一点。而且还有一个这个，就是不久前这个理工大学的一个民意调查还揭示了一个很值得注意的问题，那就是说对于占中发展到今哪一个人或者团体应该负最大的责任。那么在运动初期，那绝大多数人认为最应该负责任的是港府和北京可是到了后来，到了也就是这个月的1号2号，我们发现呢，民意调查显示呢多数人反而认为最应该负责任的是占中的人士，相应的他对港府的责任呢指的港府应该最负责任的反而减少了。那么我想这个结果呢更值得注意。我想当然不是说这些，那就说明有相当一批人原来认为是应该由港府负责的，那么现在转变为认为应该由占中者负责。那么可见他们对于整个运动的意义不是不了解，当然知道占中行动是被这个所谓甲普选方案逼出来的。但是我想他们的讨论无非就是这个运动既然已经达到了它应该达到的，也是达到它可能达到的目的，那么再坚持下去就是没有不可能有太大的作用，只是白白的影响人们的日常生活，所以转而对这个事情表示不满。那么这个我觉得就更值得注意。
是温超先生，导播告诉我你有话要回应，请谈一谈你的看法。
刚才胡平先生引用的11月初的那份民意调查报告，我不得不郑重指出，那是民建联做的调查。我们知道民建联在香港的角色，它是建制派的最主要的政治力量，他们做的民意调查并不能用来说明问题。我们如果要引用调查报告，我希望引用大学的调查报告。所以我在这，
我引用的就是理工大学的调查报告。
好，我说理工大学的调查报告，还有香港中文大学调查报告，他们在运动之初，占中运动的支持度是有34%，在2天之前做的报告，占中运动的支持度还是有34%，所以从这个数字上看来，我们并没有看到说对占中运动的支持度有下降的趋势。当然，我们看到在10月中下旬的时候，支持度会比现在略高一些，但是在一场激烈的社会抗争当中，特别是这种长期持续的抗争当中，民意度有波动是很正常的一个现象。
是，
所以在这一点，我觉得最大的压力来肯定是给到香港当局，而不是学生这方。所以他们坚持到第50天，如果能坚持到100天、200天，甚至1年，这都是更了不起的一个记录。所以在这一方面，我不认为现在需要离场，因为对于占中来讲，他们这种持续并没有太大的难度。
胡平先生，在这场占中运动开始数天以后呢，我就看到您在网上发表文章，您认为占中行动应该见好就收， 解释一下您的想法，您现在是不是仍然这么看？
对，我现在仍然这么看，而且我觉得呢，非常遗憾的就是战争运动已经错失了见好就收的最好机会、最好时机。那么因为第一，所谓这种公民抗命性的运动，那它直接目的就是唤起社会的关注，在历史上很少有哪个公民抗命运动就在这个运动过程之中就达到了它的诉求，更何况这次公民抗命运动是所谓这个间接性的公民抗命，也就是在这里公民违反的法律并不是他们要反对的法律，并不是要他们所针对的不满的那种所谓恶法，而是交通法规，实际上他们违反这个目的的仅仅在于唤起社会的关注，因此当这个目的达到，这个是他一般公民抗命运动所能达到最大目的，那么这个目的他早就超出指标的达到了，更何况呢，在此之前学联就提出过和这个港普对话，被港普拒绝，而在这个战争运动高潮期间，港普也被迫同意和学生对话，那么我想这个就实际上就是已经见到了好，而且事后回头来看，我们可以相信恐怕是已经见到了最好。现在我想就算是最乐观的人，他们也很难认为这种运动再继续持续下去可以得到进一步的成果。
嗯，
好，谢谢胡平先生。各位听众和观众朋友，您正在收看收听的是美国之音的时事大家谈节目，我们今天讨论的话题是香港战中运动风云突变，香港的民主诉求将何去何从。我们的热线电话是400-120-0551，接下来我们来接听一些听众和观众朋友的电话。湖南的温先生你好。
喂，你好，请给我30秒把话说完好吧。
好，请讲。
这个轰轰烈烈的太阳花学运和占领中环运动充分说明了中共腐败独裁的集权理念不得人心，与时代和未来为敌，是自掘坟墓，迟早会导致真正的颜色革命。占中运动目前虽然陷入低潮，但是这场公民抗命行动给香港年轻人乃至几代人都上了宝贵的一课，让争取民主自由的理念在香港深入民心，也让他们对中共这种无信无义虚伪残暴独裁政权有了更深刻的认识，或许他们太纯真太善良，以至于对中共这种腐败无能残暴不仁的政权失去了基本判断，幻想中共能自行改良，幻想中共能给港人真正的民主权利，幻想能通过对话解决政见分歧，残酷的现实让他们更加理性和坚定，大家必须放弃幻想，不断调整和丰富斗争形式，进行更加长远和
好
现实可行的抗争，大家面对的是一场最无耻、最强大、最具破坏力的独裁残暴。
谢谢湖南的温先生，明白您的意思，非常感谢。
首先我简单回应一下所谓的见好就收。
嗯，
见好就收在逻辑上并完全是站不住脚的，因为你不知道好接下来有没有更好，并且什么时候才是好，这个很难判断。所以就是说，是不是站上街头的第一天就应该收，因为已经站上街头展示了意志，你不知道第二天会发生什么，所以他整个在逻辑上他没有办法推断出任何一个可以用来作为决策依据的时间点。并且从香港这次的时间来看，如果在胡斌老师10月2号提出的见好就收那个时间点收的话，就没有后来通过对话凸显执政当局的一个那个很荒谬的一个姿态，也没有办法通过暗角事件来凸显香港滥用警力招致的民愤，那更就没有建制派分裂，包括梁振英特首提出的那个1800块美金贫困线以下的投票权那些问题。所以在这一点上我是不赞同的。
嗯，
那至于就是说香港能不能坚持下去，我们可以看到其实现在香港民众留在街头上的那个人并不多，他们用帐篷占据的方式解决了疲劳的问题，那香港政府如果清场的话，可能有更多的学生或者民众出来重新占领。我们可以看到10月17号他们通过重新占领旺角让运动进入了一个稳定态，也就是说又持续多了一个月，那我们就要看下一次香港政府全面清场的时候民众们能够做出什么样的反应。
嗯，好，谢谢。那么另外就是胡平先生，请您回应一下印度的扎西先生所提出的，就请您比较一下这次的香港这个运动呢和50年代的西藏的运动有什么样的异同。
然而当据我们现在所了解的情况，香港59年当时这个西藏拉萨59年当时发生的情况起初也就是一种和平的抗争， 那么后来这个遭到当局的镇压。那么这次这个事件呢，因为它发生在香港，发生在所谓这个毕竟是一国两制之下，当局这个很难进行这种直接的武力镇压，那么所以一直延续到今天。我想另外呢，这也是回应刚才温云超先生的一些看法。那么但是我提出10月2日就见好就收，因为当时就是在当时港府答应了要对话，那么所以如果当时就接过这个对话，那很多第一后来很多发生的问题一些负面现象不会发生，第二如果它发生了，恰好为在谈判席上的学生代表增加了筹码。那么再回到这个现在情况来看呢，问题不在于那很多人都认为既然当局现在未必就会实行武力清场，因此在香港实行这种长期的战争是完全这个是可能的，但他们没有考虑到这种做法在一般市民中引起的感受会发生巨大的变化，而这种变化不仅仅表现在就是一些原来支持战争的人后来变得不支持乃至于反对，而且更严重的是它可能导致整个泛民派他们的票源的流失，也就是会有一些原来赞成投票给泛民的人因为这件事情持续的太久影响了他们的日常生活，他们转而就不投票给泛民派。那么这样的造成后果在香港目前的体制之下，尽管泛民得到多数民众的支持，但是依然很难在这个立法会中占据多大的优势，但如果他们失去一些票源的话，那么所造成的这个负面效果是难以估计的。那么这里很简单，因为毕竟有这么一批中间派的市民，他们也认同民主，但是呢他们把民主位置就摆在和我们一样高的地位，他们会把其他的一些价值包括这个生活的安定啊，包括赚钱呢，摆在同样重要乃至于更重要的位置。如果他们发现你这样的抗争下去又不可眼下至少在眼下不可能取得成果，而只是突然在骚扰他们的生活，那么他们就会对你产生负面影响。我们可以说这些人很庸俗很势利很小市民，但是他们是你的票源，那每一个，所以这就是为什么到现在为止我们看到泛民派的议员非常着急，就在一个星期之前泛民派的这个民主党的这个何俊仁就几次表示因为他们对针对学联提出的关于这个辞职变相公投的问题，他说我可以辞职，但是辞职要有条件，就是你们宣布这个撤退，而当时学联拒绝撤退那么从那个因为何俊仁他非常清楚在这种情况之下，那这次如果长期的不收的话，那么造成的最大的损失一定是泛民派，而且一定会客观上助长建制派的成长。这一点是在历史上有不光是在中国六四，在其他很多国家都发生了同样的这个先例。
好的，我知道温云超先生要做出回应，不过我也想请您回答这么一个问题。我们知道在2003年的时候，香港发生了大规模的市民反对香港政府就基本法第23条进行立法的这么一个行动，当时香港称为反恶法的行动。在2003年7月1号的那一天，有50万香港市民自发的走上街头，反对他们这个立法的这种立场。那么导致后来具体来说，在9月5号，当时的特首董建华来宣布不就23条进行立法，撤回了他的法案的草建。那么这场运动也没有发生战中，而是由通过走上街头进行游行示威的方式来实现的。请您对那场运动和现在的这个战中进行比较。
我一般说香港传统的民意表达叫香港政府总部中产阶级的半日游，就是类似于2003年反23条的时候50万人表现的那样。他们一般在铜锣湾集合，然后游行到政府总部，然后解散。但是那个时候的政府，因为他背靠的是江湖政权，他们那个时候还没有现在的习近平政权，倒退的那么厉害。另外一个，那个时候的香港当局，他们有很多官员，他们还来自于原来的港英政府，所以他们在回应民众诉求方面还是有一定的。我们可以估计或者说香港民众还能够判断他们的行动会带来什么样的结果。但是事实上也就是在经过10年后，香港民众发现他们类似的行动再也换不回当局的注意，这是把香港的民众一步步逼到了街头，这才有了战中运动。 我简单回应一下刚才胡斌先生担忧的，就是说泛民的支持者流失的问题。这个我想大概大家可以放心，因为我刚才着重强调过两个34%的这个民意调查，作为泛民的支持者，他们还是支持者，并不会因为这次占中运动而流失。并且我们可以看到，只有7.7%的17到24岁的年龄段的人反对占中，也就是说时间在年轻人的这一边。
在美国，在西方也发生过这个类似的行动，不光是这个占领华尔街，还有像个60年代，那我们知道所谓的一个学生运动，也有大量占领学校、占领办公机构的这么些情况。当然，这个西方情况和香港有不可比之处，那就是在西方它毕竟是个完整的民主社会，在这里每一个人的选票都。恰恰是目前香港所没有的，这是香港人们所争取的，通过这次雨伞行动力图争取的。那么另外从那些正是从西方那些情况来看呢，因为它是发生在学生，所以一般也都没有采取所谓这个直接的这个去打压，那常常呢也延续很长的时间，最后才得以收场。那么从过去西方情况来看，它有同样就像我刚才提到的问题，如果它持续的时间太长，往往会产生负效果，而且必定会给支持这个运动的相关党派造成巨大的负面作用。就像刚才我已经谈到，也顺便回应温云超先生一句话，其实呢我们知道民意调查是这些年来才发展起来的一种方法，过去并没有所谓民意调查，但是很多事情严格说来其实不需要民意调查，我们只要想一想，像占中这种间接性的公民抗命，如果它持续的时间长了，民意会不会逆转？那么这一点它是个明显的事实，包括占中三子，包括学联学，他们都承认了这一点。那么逆转本身是对运动来说是好事还是坏事？这个答案是显而易见。既然我们已经看到民意在逆转，而且你在目前情况之下，你看不出什么情况下可以制止这种逆转，乃至于倒过来又重新出现这个回升的情况，那么显然这种持续下去的只会加深这种逆转，而逆转显然对运动是不利的。那么这点我觉得应该是个非常简单的事，到现在来说已经证明得非常清楚。
好，温云超先生再给你一个回应的机会，然后我们就结束第一个话题的讨论。温先生，
没有看出逆转来。这一次是香港新一代人，他们用这种云革命的方式，他们依托互联网去在无中心无组织的情况下去凝聚共识和形成行动，这是对传统抗争形式的手段，所以在我看来他们完全有能力继续发动这些年轻人，并且他们进京被堵，这已经会让他们产生一个新的本土认同，这个影响会极之深远，也可能成为后续的雨伞革命的力量来源所在。所以在这一点上，我希望大家面对这些互联网成长的新群体，他们用新的平台去做这种凝聚共识和行动，并且已经证明自己能力的情况下，我们不妨给他们更多的信心和支持。
好，由于时间的关系呢，今天的时大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了。感谢中国民主活动人士、北京之春杂志主编胡平先生以及中国观察人士、媒体人温云超先生参加节目的讨论。
以上呢就是今天 VOA 卫视时事大家谈的全部内容，非常感谢您收看。另外呢，美国之音中文网站上新创了电视节目预告，点击卫视留言板，您就可以对即将讨论的话题提出问题或者发表评论，我们等待您的留言。
时事大家谈 Facebook 和 Twitter 账号网址分别是 facebook.com/VOAIO 和 twitter.com/VOAIO， 我们期待与您有更多的交流和互动。
明天的时事大家谈节目，我们将关注热点话题美中关系是否峰回路转，同时呢我们将推出 VOA 有问必答栏目，请您在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视。我是宇宙，祝您晚安。
我是宝晨，我们下次节目再见。
这是美国之音的中文广播。